Hello and welcome to Reddy and Newman's Daily Podcast, your go-to place for common questions about immigration to the United States. Reddy and Newman is a team of experienced business immigration attorneys who handle a host of visa categories and complex immigration cases. This podcast will provide an insight into our daily free conference calls hosted by our attorneys, as well as discussions on hot immigration topics. Please note that information provided is not to be construed as legal advice for your specific situation and does not constitute an engagement with Reddy and Newman PC or establish an attorney-client relationship. For specific advice on your situation, please contact an attorney. Here's your host.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Rebecca Chen, and I'm a partner with Reddy & Newman PC. I will be conducting the conference today. If you haven't already, there should be a link in the chat to fill out your question on a Google Sheet, and we will be answering questions in the order of that Google Sheet. Shruti, can you start the first question?
Rishan? Yeah. Hi. Yeah, I have a question regarding I have a EAD along with my family, and I have two boys. Like, one is college going and other is high school going. So I just wanted to understand what are the options for them to continue to stay here if I need to go to India, return back to India.
When you say return to India, do you mean kind of relocate long term?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Relocate. You have the advanced parole?
Yeah, I have it. Yeah.
Okay, the 5-year one?
No, not yet. Yeah. So my current one will expire in August. So I'm applying for a renewal now.
Okay. It may not be possible for you to relocate alone and for the rest of your family to remain in the U.S. because the I-485 is based on, you're the I-140 beneficiary, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The I-485 application validity being pending, even though the priority date isn't current now, it's based on the existence of a valid full-time permanent job offer for you based on the I-140. If you are not in the U.S., it really depends on your I-140 petitioner, if they are still willing to attest, if needed, that they're keeping the job offer open for you. If they're still willing to support the I-140 application, basically, if they don't withdraw it and you still have that job offer, that they're ready to provide the J supplement or the letter at any time, it may be possible, but it can be a bit difficult, especially if you're planning to be gone for a while.
Okay. And my green card interview is already done. And my son, they also have a EAD. So will they have to go to J student visa, or is there any other option for them if I don't continue on?
It may be difficult for your children who are in college at this point to apply for an F1 visa, because I assume they're no longer on an H4 visa. If they were still H4 status, they could potentially change over to F1 status. But since they're not on an H4 right now, it's not really possible to move from an EAD to F1 status. Unless they go for visa stamping at the consulate, and it's much more difficult to get the F1 visa stamp at the consulate because they have no ties to their home country.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. No worries. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Hi, Rebecca. Thanks for doing this. So I have my wife here, Deepika. So the question is regarding my wife. So she's a full-time employee, and she used to work on H4 and H4 EAD over the past 3 years. And last year, her H-1 petition got approved and with a full-time employment, and this is 2023, and she lost the job in layoffs in March 2024. So our question is, can we switch H-1 to H-4 based on my H-1? Because her H-4, current H-4 is still valid, H-4 EAD is still valid under September 2024. So we're trying to see if we can cross the border and extend the her H-4 based on my I-94. That's our first question. And the second question will be, as soon as we enter in US, can we apply the EAD, H-4 EAD, based on our latest H-4 I-94 extension, based on my H-1 date? And lastly, right? So if we do this way,
Okay,
like
so
when you're
first let me address those questions. We would recommend that you go ahead, even if you try the travel option, it's not always guaranteed. The extension through travel to Mexico, most of the time it works, but there have been times where it hasn't. So we usually recommend still going ahead and before the end of the 60-day grace period, file the I-539 and I-765 applications just so they're there and processing. Then, while those are pending, you can try the travel option. It's usually recommended that both of you travel together. They're more likely to extend her H-4 I-94 if the two of you are traveling as a couple because they're giving you the 2026 end date on your H-1B. And so they're more likely to give her the 2026 end date on her I-94. Does she still have a valid H-4 visa? Until September 2020. Okay, until September 2024. Okay, then yeah, that would be fine. She should definitely get the extension then, unless CBP messes up for some reason. But I would still recommend doing the I-539 and I-765 now just to get it submitted and pending. Then you can travel, come back in. She can come back in with the extended H-4 I-94. That will kind of auto extend her current EAD. So she can start working right away once she returns in H4 status because the EAD that she had from H4 status previously, it's still valid until September 2024. As soon as she's back in H4 status, she can start using that existing EAD. And then based on the I-765 that she already filed, that gets a 540-day auto extension. So that would be my recommendation is to just go ahead and file the I-539 and I-765 first to get it in and pending, then travel, and she can start working once she comes back in. Next question.
Hi, Rebecca. Thank you. Thank you very much to entire BB Law team for helping our immigration employment-based immigration community. Me and my wife have filed I-485 in 2020. I'm the primary applicant. She's dependent. We have EAD and advanced parole, but priority dates have retrogressed. So we are also maintaining H-1B and H-4 for safety. Just in case green card gets denied, it's nice to have backup option already in place. My H-1B will get renewed this year. Company lawyers are charging a lot for my wife's H-4 and H-4 EAD. Can we renew her H-4 on our own? And H-4 EAD has filing fees, so can she use 5 year free of cost green card EAD instead of paying for a 3 year H-4 EAD?
That's fine. Yeah, so the H-4 and the EAD applications are in her name personally, so it does not need to go through the company's attorneys if you don't want them to. There is a benefit to filing the H-1B, H-4, and EAD concurrently, which is that if the H-1B gets put in premium processing, then the H-4 and EAD will also be automatically premium processed. But if you don't want to kind of work with your company's lawyers. I mean, we have had some cases where the spouse H-4 EAD are prepared independently, and if the company attorneys are willing to just mail them all together in the same package, that's essentially the same as concurrently filing them. So you can check if maybe they would be willing to do that. If not, and you do end up filing the H-4 and EAD completely separately on your own, you can do that. And then if the H-4 EAD is not renewed or isn't issued in time. Yeah, your wife can definitely consider using the AOS-based EAD card in the interim. And then when the H-4 EAD gets approved and issued, she can move back to that.
Got it. Sorry, my question was, is it okay not to renew H4 EAD and work on
Yeah,
AOS-based EAD to
that's fine
save?
too. She doesn't need to renew the EAD related to the H4. It's not required at all. But if she moves on to the EAD that's issued based on the pending I-485, she should be aware that she's no longer in H4 status. So if
Okay.
she uses that EAD, she will be kind of surrendering H4 status, which isn't a problem, like in our opinion, unless you have like a criminal history or some really complicated issues in your I-485, there are very few situations where your I-45 would be denied. And so we actually don't re we recommend that people actually move on to the GC, EAD, and AP without maintaining the H-1B and H-4.
Got it. Thank you. Thank you so much. And one last thing. Is it possible? How can I convince company lawyers to attach self-petition? Can they say no?
I guess they can, depending on, but if you tell them that you are just preparing the I-539 and I-765 applications yourself, you'll have to prepare them on paper. So you can't file them online in that situation. But yeah, you can ask them and ask them, if we prepare the I-539 and I-765 independently, ship it to your office, will you mail it together with the H-1B? Just
Good. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Hi. Hey, Rabita.
Yeah, so
I think like I
technical.
posted a duplicate question,
Yeah.
Kaushik Kalluri, under the name Kaushik Kalluri. That's the updated one.
Let's see. Okay, so your H-1B did go into effect.
Yes, on October 1st it did go into effect, and my service record was completed due to that.
Okay, but you never worked for the company in H-1B status?
No, I lost my job in July.
Okay, and then when did you apply for the B-2 change of status?
I think it was on November 27th or 28th.
Okay. Yeah, it's hard to say right now since you don't have the copy of the denial notice. If you filed it before the end of the 60-day grace period, then it wouldn't be considered late. The only situation that it might be considered late is if Amazon withdrew your H-1B approval and listed your termination date in the withdrawal notice. Based on that, then USCIS might consider that the grace period doesn't apply because the H-1B, was already withdrawn as of October 1st, even if the service record kicked you out of the system on October 1st. So it's kind of hard to say right now. I would recommend checking back when you get the denial notice and when it lists the reasons for the denial.
But right now I'm not on status, right? Like, for should I wait for the
No.
denial notice?
Yeah, I mean the yeah, you if you need to, you can cons I mean it's already been more than 6 months, which is why, it doesn't make that much difference now.
And I just want to add one more thing. When I check my H-1B receipt number right now in USCIS portal, it still says it's approved. It's not been withdrawn yet.
Yeah, that is not really reliable. USCIS doesn't always update the case status website with a withdrawal.
Yeah, even the attorney haven't received the withdrawal acknowledgement till now.
No, it
And my
doesn't.
college,
Sometimes
oh.
we get the withdrawal acknowledgement sometimes a year later, 14 months later. Yeah, that doesn't mean anything necessarily. I mean, if you want to make arrangements to depart the US as soon as possible, that is always your choice, because you're right that if the B2 did get denied and it wasn't in error, if it was based on the H-1B withdrawal, for example, then you are out of status now and you're just going to continue accruing unlawful presence the longer that you're here. I would consult with an immigration attorney one-on-one, because at this point, since you've already been out of status more than 6 months, there's a lot more consequences that you need to consider. Okay.
Okay. Hey, Rebecca.
Hi, go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for this opportunity. So I wanted to understand about this automatic revalidation program, Rebecca, because my family wants to, travel to Canada for 3 weeks. So currently I don't have the, visa stamping, but I do have the approved, I-797 document. So could you please suggest, is it, good to, travel out and come back without, US stamping? So
Yeah,
that is
that
what.
is fine. That's the whole point of automatic visa revalidation, is that if you are traveling directly from the US to Canada or Mexico and you're not going to any other countries in between, just from the US to Canada and back. And if the duration of stay in Canada is less than 30 days, then coming back into the US, you can re-enter the country with a copy of, or not a copy, but your expired passport visa and your unexpired H-1B or H-4 original approval notice with the I-94 attached. So based on the dates that you kind of listed in here, it sounds like your stamping expired last year. Your I-94 is valid until 2025. So yeah,
Yeah,
coming in
correct.
with the passport with that expired visa and it's best if you have the original approval notice, if possible, with the actual I-94 card attached at the bottom. But yeah, with those documents, you will be able to come back in without having to go for visa stamping.
Okay, so there was an employer change that did not impact anything, correct?
I'm sorry?
There was an employer change. So when I came, I mean, the
That's
last.
fine.
Okay, fine. Thank you very
Yeah, it
much.
doesn't need to be the employer mentioned on the passport visa. It should, you do need to be working for the company on the I-797 approval notice.
Yeah, yes, I'm currently. Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Sure.
Yeah, hi. Hi, Rebecca. Thank you for
Hi.
your time.
Sure. Go ahead.
Right now, my H-1B is picked up and this year.
Okay.
So I have a Indian nationality right now, but ne in next few months my nationality going to be changed. So what are the consequences if I go to interview after the my nationality changed?
Do you mean an interview when applying for the visa at the consulate?
Yes.
Okay. That should be fine. So when filing the H-1B application, the most important thing is to attach a copy of your passport that the company used in March in the registration process. They
Yes.
want to see a copy of that passport. If by the time you're going for the interview at the consulate, so before the consulate interview, kind of to schedule your interview, the first thing you do is fill out a form online called the DS-160, and that asks questions about your current passport number, your country of nationality, country of birth, all of that. If by that time that you're filling out the DS-160 that you have citizenship from another country and a new passport, you can just fill in those passport details on the DS-160.
Okay.
And then, yeah, attend the interview with that passport. That's fine. I would still probably hold on to your passport from March that was used in the lottery registration, just in case the consulate asks to see it to confirm that you're the same person. They probably won't, but
But
just have to wait.
sorry for the interrupt. Once I receive the new passport, new nationality, so I have to, revoke my old nationality.
Yeah, just
So
keep a copy of it. So make a photocopy of it and bring it to the consular interview.
okay, yes. Yeah, thank you so much
Sure.
for the advice. Yeah.
Hi, Rebecca.
Hi, go ahead.
Yeah. So my H-1B got transferred in the last month to my new employer. So after it got approved, my job offer is taken back. So I'm currently in a grace period, 60-day grace
Okay.
period. So 30 days is left for me. So I checked the case status today, and on April 8th, it's showing the case is automatically revoked.
Okay.
So what are the options I have to stay here? Can I change to F2 here? My husband is on F1 OPT and he's has a full-time job now.
Okay. Yeah, you have that option. So, as long as, and you're sure that the H-1B did get approved, right?
Yes.
Okay.
On March 12th, it got approved, but I didn't
Okay.
receive any H-797
Approval notice.
copy from my new employer.
Okay, but you have the case number.
Yeah, I have the case
Okay.
number, and today when I checked it shows revoked.
Okay. Yeah, so you do have the 60-day grace period, I would say, from the time that
Determination.
did you ever actually start work with the company?
No, I didn't start work, but they
Okay.
provided me a job offer. After approval, they again go with the other person. So they gave me the termination letter on 15th March.
Okay. And when did you stop working for your previous company?
Previous company, it's on Jan.
Okay, so you were already in a grace period when this company filed its transfer?
Yes.
Okay. It might be a little difficult then because you won't have pay stub. Your most recent pay stubs, I guess, will be from last year.
No, for the new employer, they provided me a pay stub for 4 days because
Okay.
from the job offer, on the job offer, it shows after I got an approved, I will start to work on that company.
Okay.
From
As long as
there,
they gave you even one pay stub, then that will be enough. So that's fine
I
then.
have a one pay stub on March for 4 days. So can I apply for F2 right now?
Yes, you can. You can also apply for an H-1B transfer to another company, 60
But
days.
I still get didn't get into any company, like any project
That's
yet.
fine. Yeah, so it's up to you. You can switch to F2, or you can do an H-1B transfer. Just make sure whatever you file, you do it before May 15th, since that will
Okay,
be the
so
earliest.
like after like this change of status, can I as I'm applying change of status to F2, so can I need to travel out of the country or can I stay here until it got approved?
You don't need to leave the country, just stay in the US until it's decided.
Okay. If I get a project on H1B, can I switch back to H1B?
You can try, yeah. You just won't
So
be able
what are
to
the options
start.
I have if I get a project
You
on
won't be able
H1B?
to start work for the new company until the H-1B application is approved. You can't join them based on the receipt notice. So you'll need to make sure the new company knows that you have a pending I-539 so that they can file their H-1B application as a change of status.
Okay.
But it is possible. So premium processing will probably be necessary because they'll need the approval before you
Okay.
can join. Okay.
Okay, after I got a H-1B approved, can I leave the country and get it stamped right away
Yes.
or? Okay, yeah, thank you. Bye.
Okay. Hi, Rebecca.
Hi.
I have a question. So I got my H1 picked recently. Can you hear me? Is it
Yes.
audible? Okay. So I got my H1 picked, so I wanted to know, my EAD is not in hand yet for my I'm still doing my master's. I'll be graduating in May. So I'll be
Okay.
I'm applying for my OPT too. So would you suggest me to apply for the premium processing for the EAD?
Yeah, in general, we do recommend premium processing for the EAD just to make sure it gets approved. The earlier you can file, the better. The main thing we want to avoid is if you file the I-765 and something is missing, like a signature is missing on the I-20 or something like that, and it gets rejected or denied, and you don't find out about it until the 90-day application window is over, then you can't really refile the I-765. So we usually recommend premium processing just to make sure you get it approved within the application window so that if something is missing, you can hopefully refile still.
Got it. Oh, also, they're asking for my previous EAD, which is my bachelor's EAD, and
Okay.
I just have the front copy of it. I don't have a back copy of it, but
That's
they
fine.
require both. Is that fine? Can I still, or do you want me to wait until I find it? I think it's with me, but it's back at my
Just a
place.
copy of the front of the EAD card should be fine. It's not really necessary to provide the front and back.
Okay, they did mention front and back though on my I-765 application.
Oh, you mean for the, oh, okay, so for the EAD application. For the H-1B, it's not really needed. If the I-765 is asking for it, then yeah, then I guess you should try to locate it if you can. Although, I mean, we have also filed I-765 applications in the past without submitting a copy of the back of the card.
So if I apply for my EA or premium processing, how long would it take to get my EAD in hand?
30 days from the time of filing is when USCIS has to take action on the case. So that would either be an RFE or hopefully just the approval.
Okay, so would there need my EAD for H1 filing process, or would my I-20 would be enough? Like OPT I-20, would that be enough?
Yeah, provide a copy of the EAD if it's available by the time they're
Okay.
filing your H-1B application. If it's not issued yet, then just provide them a copy of the I-765 receipt notice.
Got it. Okay. That sounds good. And I have one more last question. If I apply for OPT EAD now, can I is there a possibility that I might receive it before my graduation date and after my program end date? There is a time between my program end date and my grad walk. So will I be able to receive it before my grad walk?
Potentially. Yeah, if you do premium processing, they have to respond within 30 days. Next question. Sorry, Shruti, can you repeat that?
Hello, Rebecca. Hi, this is Nima.
Go ahead.
So, Rebecca, actually, recently my H-1B got revoked because my previous employer made a mistake in filing my H-1B. Like, instead of new employment, he filed for concurrent employment, and that caused an issue, and my H-1B got revoked. So,
Okay.
currently, I'm getting married in this month, and my fiance is on H-1B visa itself. He's in USA. And I'm planning to come on H-4 visa. I have got the visa slot appointment as well. But as I'm having issue with my previous employer, he didn't provide me the W-2 form yet for tax filing. So is
Okay.
it very important to file tax returns this year itself, or can I do it next year as well? Because will it give me any issues for the visa?
It shouldn't give you any issues at the H4 appointment at the consulate. You're not required to bring tax returns necessarily, although I mean actually if you're going for an H4 visa, I doubt they will ask anything about your prior H1B employment. For the most part, they will just be wanting to confirm that your fiance or your husband by then is in valid H1B status. So his H1B approval notices and his pay stubs, and then your marriage certificate, of course, and other documents regarding your marriage. Those will be mainly what they're looking for. I don't think they will really ask anything about your prior H1B, although just in case, you can maybe carry copies of the pay statements that you had from the company for last year, just to show that you were paid.
Sorry to interrupt, Rebecca, but I have got the Dropbox appointment. I got the interview
Oh,
with.
okay. Okay.
So, can I do my tax returns next year? Will that be okay?
That will be more of a tax question. So you may need to consult a CPA. I am not sure about the rules about like late tax filing or what to do if you didn't get the W-2. So I would recommend consulting with an accountant or CPA before the 15th, if possible, to find out if there's anything that you need to file, like an extension of the deadline or something like that for the 15th.
Okay. My question is like, will that it won't cause any problem to my visa thing, right?
No.
Okay. Great. Yeah. Thank you.
Hi, Rebecca.
Hi, go ahead.
Yeah, I worked in India for 10 years. I came here on H4 dependent in 2020. So my application has been picked in the H1B cap lottery this year. Is it legal to work with that company to proceed further in H1B processing?
Do you have an EAD?
Not yet.
Okay, then you can't work for that company until your H-1B application is approved.
Okay.
So,
My employer has a project for me.
Okay. Yeah, still the way that the H-1B rules are, the earliest that a new H-1B can go into effect is October 1st.
Okay.
So if you were selected in the lottery in March, what should be happening now is that the employer has between April 1st and June 30th to prepare and file the visa application with USCIS. So that application would request a change of your status from H4 to H1B. Even if it's approved in premium processing, if it's filed this month and it's in premium processing and it gets approved in May, you're not able to start work for the company until October 1st at the earliest, because that's when the
Okay.
H-1B would go into effect. So,
Okay, and as I don't have any experience in USA because I was on H4, can I continue with the H1B processing?
That's fine. Yeah, you can have the company file the H-1B application on your behalf, but you just cannot work for the company until the H-1B application is approved, and it's October 1st at the earliest.
Okay, that sounds good. Then I can at the time of after getting the approval and like in October, I can change my status from H4 to H1B, right?
If they file it as a change of status, then the change of status will be automatic. As long as you don't leave the country and the company files it as a change of status, then when it's approved, it will have the I-94 attachment on the approval notice. And just on October 1st, automatically your status will change from H4 to H1B and you can start work.
Okay, thank you.
We'll take one more question.
Hey, hi, Rebecca.
Hi,
So,
Connor.
my wife is on H-4 visa. So I recently got married. I am on H-1B visa working for an employer. So when she was attending the consulate interview, she got a 221G asking for my visa to be updated because my H-1B visa stamping on my passport has my previous employer details on it. So they asked me to update the she asked, they gave it to 221G asking saying that I have to update my visa employer stamping. So I did update my visa stamping and send them the 221G documents as asked in the email for the consulate. So it's been over a month now. So what are the odds of approval for her H4 visa, or should we go for again a H4 new visa interview?
I don't know if you can go for another interview when there's already a case pending for her at the consulate. So you may just need to wait for a decision on this current one. Yeah, 221G can be unpredictable because the processing, there's no set processing time. Although if all they were asking for was, I am also not sure why they asked for your visa stamp to be updated with the new employer. That's not really required for H-1B visa holders. You can still use Employer A's visa stamp in your passport as long as it's unexpired. So as long as it's unexpired, you can use it to enter the US. So I don't know why they asked you to get a new visa stamp with Employer B on it. Yeah, it's a little hard to tell because I don't really know what they're looking for. So I can't really comment on the odds of approval. But I mean, it sounds like you provided what they were asking for. Yeah, and so I think the only thing you can do right now is continue waiting. Sorry, we'll need to close the conference here for today. If you weren't able to ask your question, the next conference will be Monday at 3:30 Central Time, the same time. And if you would like to speak to one of our attorneys in more detail, there's a link in the chat to schedule a one-on-one consultation. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Reddy and Newman Daily Podcast. We sincerely hope that you've taken something valuable out of it. Don't forget to subscribe and leave us a review. For more information or if you want to make an appointment, check out our websites, rnlawgroup.com and immigrationgirl.com. Have an awesome day.